This is a speech from The Daughter-in-Law by D.H. Lawrence. It's a play about a mother and a son and a daughter-in-law. And it's set in the East Midlands in the mining community. And what has happened is that her son, Luther, this is a woman who's had six sons, and Luther is the fifth son, has got married. He's been married for 3 months, and he's married a young woman who is a little bit above his station, who's got delusions of moving up in the world a little bit. And unfortunately, before they get married, he has had a relationship with another girl who has got pregnant. And in this scene, which is in the first act of the play, the girl's mother, Mrs. Purdy, comes to Mrs. Gascoigne, Luther, the miner's mother, to say, what are you going to do about it? My girl needs compensation. What's very interesting is that they don't judge the fact that she's going to be an unmarried mother. They just are very practical about it. There's a younger brother there, Joe, who tries to defend his elder brother, Luther, and Mum isn't having any of it. And this is a wonderful storytelling speech where Mrs. Gascoigne, the mother, explains to Mrs. Purdy why the marriage is like it is. And I'm Annie Tyson, and this is my speech share. It's like this here, missus, if you'll not say nothing about it, since it's got to come out atween us. He courted Minnie Etherington when she were at her uncle's at the Bella Brass, and he were nowt but a lad of 22 and she 21. And he were gone on her right enough. Then she had that row with her uncle, for she was ever overbearing and chancy. Then our Luther says to me, Alice, I ask her to marry me mother, and I says, that pleases us end, but to my thinking that a sight too young, and does not know thy own mind. Howsoever, much notice he takes of me. And for what shouldn't he? Hadn't I been a good mother to him in every shape and form? Let her make him as good a wife as I made him a mother. Well, we'll see. You'll see him repent the day. But they're not to be bidden. And so, missus, he did ax her, as he said he should. But hoity-toity, and no thank you, she wasna for having him, but mun go and be a nursery governess up in Manchester. Thinks I to myself, she's after a town, Johnny, a Bertie Willie and a yard of cuffs. But he kept on writing to her, now and again, and she answered, as if she were standing at top of a flight of steps. So they go mourning on. He sees her once in a blue moon. If he goes to Manchester, she condescends to see him for a couple of hours. If she comes here, she calls in this house with a, how do you do, Mrs. Gascoigne, and off again. If they go for a walk, it's, thank you, I mustn't be very late. Good night, Luther. I thought it had never come to nothing. Then her uncle dies and leaves her £100, which, considering the way she'd been with him, was more than I'd a guinea. And she was a bit nicer. She writes to Luther to come and see her and stop a couple of days. He takes her to the theatre and's for going in the pit at a shilling when she says, it's my treat, Luther, and 5 shilling seats apiece, if you please. And after the theatre, it must be supper with your man with a tail coat and silver forks, and she pays. Yes, says I when he told me, that's the trick of servants showing off of our decent folk. Well, and after that he didn't write, except to say thank you. For it put him in an awkward position. That were 4 years ago, and she'd not but seen him 3 times since that. If she could have snapped up somebody else, it'd have been goodbye to Luther, as I told him many a time. For am I to sit and see my own lad bitted and bobbed, tasted and spit out by a madam in service? Then all of a sudden, 3 months back, come a letter. Dear Luther, I've been thinking it over, and have come to the opinion we'd better get married now if we're ever going to. We've been dallying on all these years, and we seem to get no further. So we'd better make the plunge if we're ever going to. Of course, you will say exactly what you think. Don't agree to anything unless you want to. I only want to say that I think if we're ever going to be married, we'd better do it without waiting any longer. Well, missus, he got that letter when he come home from work. I seed him pouring and pouring, but I says nowt. Then he ate some of his dinner and he went out. When he come in, it were about 10:30, and he were white as a sheet. He gave me that letter, and he says, "What's think of that, mother?" Well, he could have knocked me down with a feather when I read it. I said, "I think it's a tidy cheat, me lad." He took it back and put it in his pocket, and after a bit he says, "What should to say, mother?" I says, "What has a mind, my lad?" I says. So he begins unlacing his boots. Sudden he stops, and with boots tags rattling, he goes rummaging for the pen and ink. "What am I going to say?" I says. "I'm going to say I can do as has a mind. If I wants to be married, I can. If I doesna, I nidna." So I thinks we could leave it at that. He sits him down, and he doesna write more than a side and a half. I thinks that's done it. It'll be an end between them two now. He never gave me the letter to read. On the Monday after, she were living here at her aunt's, and the notice was in at the registrar. I says, "What money just want?" He says, "Thee buy what thou thinks Weasel want." So he tells Minnie, and she says, "Not be out, I'm there." Well, we goes to Nottingham, and she will have nowt but old-fashioned stuff. I says, "That's never my mind, Minnie." She says, "Well, I like it, and you'll see it'll look nice. I'll pay for it," which, to be sure, I never let her. For she'd had a mister had made a fool of her, telling her this and that, what were good taste and what were bad. And we'll see how it looks in 10 years' time with a racket and tacket of children, for it's not serviceable, missus. You can see now how he got married, and who's to blame. I know he asked her to have him. Now she's asked for what she's got. She's put her pudding in her mouth, and if she's burnt herself, serve her right.